Welcome to episode 4, The Coin, Black History on the Other Side podcast, hosted by Brittany Wilkins. Before I get into today's topic of discussion, I would like to shout out all the people listening around the world. I launched this new endeavor about 2 months ago, and I am amazed at how many downloads the podcast has gotten. When I started this podcast, I looked at it as another outlet for me to grow in knowledge and share with others in the process. By no means do I consider myself to be a Black scholar, but one who is learning from Black scholars and historians and building my intellect. I truly do appreciate the listeners tuned in from the United Kingdom, Mexico, and all across the United States. Again, thank you to all. I encourage you to share with those in your network. Moving into today's topic, I've been having conversations about Black history with many people. And there are those who believe our history has been stolen and is lost. I believe this to be true to a degree, as I have been on this journey of enlightenment, of learning my history. I discovered that it is not lost. Our history is out there. Seek and you shall find it. When the Europeans invaded Africa, they began to destroy, deconstruct kingdoms, empires, and villages, and our history fell within the ruins. For example, during the late Iron Age of Zimbabwe, Great Zimbabwe was the bustling capital of the kingdom. This ancient site once housed as many as 18,000 people and spanned over 1,700 acres. It is one of the largest ruins in Africa. Construction of the medieval city began in the 11th century and continued until the 15th century. The ruins are home to three distinct architectural groupings: the Hill Complex, the Valley Complex, and the Great Enclosure. All are built with an extremely impressive dry stone technique that doesn't use any mortar to keep the stones in place. Looking at these images today of this great kingdom and other ancient African ruins, one might say that there isn't much there. You don't see a kingdom standing. You see bricks piled up and scattered amongst the territory. But in engineering school, I took a 3D drawing class. Everything we lay our eyes on today is in two-dimensional space. And what this course taught me was to look at objects in 2D and to convert and draw them into 3D isometric objects. So looking at object shapes for not what they are, but what they can become when you visualize how they fit together. I've used this technique in studying Black history. I don't look at history for what it is today. I look at history from the lens of what it once was. When I look at ruins, they are not just bricks. Those bricks represent the foundation of a thriving nation of people. While we cannot physically rebuild these kingdoms, we can build up our knowledge of these kingdoms and our history one brick at a time. But building requires preservation. In today's episode, I just want to briefly talk about how do we preserve our legacy of Black history. One way that I thought that we could preserve Black history was through knowledge management. Knowledge management is the process of creating, sharing, using, and managing the knowledge and information of an organization. It refers to a multidisciplinary approach to achieve organizational objectives by making the best use of knowledge. You may say, well, in history we have written documents, which are important sources of our history, such as books, letters, and diaries that can tell us how and the way our ancestors lived and what was happening during their time period. A big part of our culture has been oral storytelling. This has been our knowledge management. Because many cultures did not write down their history, but instead they told stories to their children to pass along for generations. Have you heard the Bantu tribe legend of mysterious short people? Vana Wandi Wonripi, meaning from where did you see me? Children are warned that if they ever meet a strange short man who asks, from where did you see me? They are to reply, I saw you when you were far away, beyond those hills over there. The short man will then leave them alone and go on his way, pleased that he is a big man visible from a long distance away. But if they reply, I saw you just now from when you were right here, the short man will be displeased and might cause them harm. Quite the urban legend. What are your thoughts on this story? Have you heard this tale before? It was my first time hearing this story after reading African Saga. I love oral storytelling because it puts us in the presence of our elders, learning and gaining insightful information about life. But has our generation gotten away from traditional storytelling and learning from our elders with the emergence of social media with all its influencers? Can we solely rely on oral storytelling to preserve our history moving forward? I'm asking this question based off past historical events that have happened. One, the greatest disruptor to our history was slavery. As our ancestors were brought to the New World, it had me thinking, what was inside of them that they did not have the opportunity to pass down to those they left behind? And if you listen to my third podcast episode, I talked about the story of the Moors in Spain. The Moors had migrated from North Africa to Spain through an invasion of war. They gained dominion and power. They established themselves in Spain by building culture and community in their new promised land. The Moors had all this knowledge and intellect about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. But as I was reading the story, it had me wondering how much of that knowledge was passed down to those who remained in the North Africa region. You see, when your best resources leave without teaching, it leaves a huge void of a learning curve on how to progress forward. So as I read the story of the Moors in Spain, it made me go, what happened in that region between 700 AD and 1942? How did Africa further progress in their development of civilization? Or by the Moors leaving the region and not passing down that knowledge, did that leave Africa open and vulnerable for the colonization period to begin? Makes you wonder. In August of 2019, I visited San Diego, California. And exploring the city, I discovered a hidden gem in the heart of Old Town, Casa de la Rey Mora African Lat Museum. This is not your typical museum, because who knew that $5 could buy you a cultural education experience of 6,000 years of Black history? The museum's owner, Professor Chuck Ambers, founded the museum with the mission to educate visitors on the contributions Africans have made throughout the world. The tiny space houses over 7,000 books in 9 different languages. There's a story behind every piece of artwork and artifact. To me, this museum was like the Disneyland of Black history. Now, one may think learning 6,000 years of history can seem a bit overwhelming. I spent over 4 hours in the museum just taking in all the stories that Professor Ambers was telling me about Black history. The experience was so thought-provoking as he was just pouring all that knowledge into me. But the highlight of the tour was when oral storytelling became live in action is when Professor Ambers had me teach two visitors, and the two men were impressed that I learned so much in a short amount of time. It was not the history that stuck with me the most, but just the words of wisdom as he taught me the history on how one could progress forward in life. You know, some key lessons, you know, I learned from that learning experience with Professor Ambers was he taught me to learn to speak more than one language. He said, if you function in only one language, they control your mind. He told me to expand your mind, to open your eyes. I encourage you to take out a dollar bill and look at the back of that dollar bill. And when you look at the back of that dollar bill, you'll see the pyramid of providence. Our history has been with us all along. It is not lost. We are walking around with it every day. The pyramid is an African cultural symbol that symbolizes natural balance, harmony, and triads of life. When you learn your history, you will begin to see it all around you. Professor Ambers also told me, travel. Go beyond the books and take the adventure out into the world, because knowledge will come full circle when you tie the textbooks with the exploration. So many profound lessons that he passed on to me. But moving beyond those lessons, I asked Professor Ambers, what legacy will you leave behind? And how will you leave it? This question stumped him. I told him, you worked so hard to gain back this stolen history. It must be preserved beyond you. One of my favorite quotes is, if we want to live forever, then we must build for eternity. Leaving a legacy behind, living beyond our legacy, requires we build, preserve, so future generations have a foundation they can build upon. I think preservation has to go beyond the museums. Because many people have said, well, Brittany, we preserve our history in museums. Well, I said, well, the challenge is that before I went to San Diego, California, I never knew about Professor Ambers. So how would a person like me gain that 6,000 years of knowledge? I said, can that be found accessible on Google? And that is the challenge, you know, where do we store this rich heritage of our history for others to access all across the world? Again, you may think Google may be the predominant place as many people continue to update and have many different Black historical websites filled with information. But going beyond Google, and thinking from the technology space, I wonder, could the idea of cloud computing work and having a Black history archive that could be accessible from anywhere in the world that stored all our Black history that was put into the system? Could it all just be in one place that was accessible to people anywhere and anytime around the world? And that would be one way that we can take the oral history and combine it with a system all in one place, other than traditional storytelling, because we never know what can happen or things that can take place, and we may not have the opportunity to tell someone important information and lessons that we once learned. So for those of you listening, I encourage you to do the following. One, seek history as the road to destiny is paved through it. In future podcasts and online courses, I will be offering insight on how to do this in alignment with your interests and purpose. Two, reflect on what oral stories or superstitions have been passed down to you. And maybe it's not a story. It could be an artifact, recipe, or anything that has taught you something about your culture and has shaped and molded you into the person you are today. Three, what will you do now in the moment, here and now, in the present to advance the culture forward to the future. 4. What will you leave behind for the generations to come, and how will you preserve it? These questions may require some deep reflections. They probably can't be all answered in one day, but over time, just begin to, you know, think on these things and lay one brick a day. And until my next podcast episode, don't give up. Remain steadfast in the process and take care.